NamNab is a podcast that deals with the grisly details of a variety of topics, including true crime cases, government cover-ups, conspiracies, and the paranormal. This content is not suitable for everyone. Viewer discretion is advised.
She was murdered.
What's up, my dudes?
Welcome back.
This is Not a Monster, Not a Boogeyman.
I'm Naomi.
I'm Janae.
I'm Les. And today, I will be presenting a very well-known case for you.
Yay!
The case of John and Lorena Bobbitt.
Yes!
Now, Gaia. Yet again.
Yay!
Lorena, Gaia. Yeah, and also, yeah, I'll say her name is Lorena. I don't know why. I don't know. People call her Lorena. I don't know. It's fine. It's the same name. So, I also want to mention that there is some violence in this episode. Domestic abuse violence and sexual abuse and also some mutilation.
Yes. Yes.
So, I'm sure you guys know this story. Mm-hmm. It was going on around the times where we were all very young.
Yes.
But it was like... these are household names.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Like, I remember knowing about this as a kid, too.
It's one of those where I'm not entirely mad about what's happening.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's, like, a lot of misconceptions and a lot of, like, lies that circulate the story, especially involving Lorena Gallo, because somehow we vilified her as a domestic violence victim.
Yeah.
Because when I asked a friend about this case, they're like, oh, what is it this time? And I said this case, and they were like, oh, yeah, she was a psycho. And I was like, no, I think you have it wrong, kind of. Anyway.
Yeah, before I watched, like, I told Alexis I started the, that, like, Amazon series.
Yeah, that's one of my sources for this case, too.
And, like, I got maybe an episode and a half in before, like, before then I hadn't known that she was, like, a victim of anything. Like, no one ever said that
me
part.
Too. Yeah. They're all like, oh, she's crazy and she did this horrible thing to her partner. And then afterwards you're like, ugh.
Well, that's because that was done on purpose. The media did this on purpose. So some of my other sources, Crimes of Passion podcast is pretty good, too.
Cool.
Vanity Fair. And then, yeah, Jordan Peele's Amazon documentary.
Oh, shit. This. Jordan Peele did that?
Yeah, Jordan Peele did that.
Huh. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
He's just out here doing the most.
Yeah, he is. All right. So let's start from the very, very beginning. Okay, so picture this. You are a very young girl in the 1970s growing up in Ecuador. It is a hot day, and your family is living their day-to-day routine life. You just got a TV, though, and it's colored. And the people, the images, the things, they're fucking, you're obsessed. Okay?
That's awesome.
They're beautiful. But nothing is nearly as beautiful as the American film and TV shows. American films and TV shows you are so obsessed with. You swoon over the lead character. He's so handsome. He's so tough. But most of all, he's white and blue-eyed.
Okay.
And is sort of snarky and brutish. Anyway, so that was your childhood. You love American television. And for your 15th birthday, your parents, they're usually going to throw you either a quinceañera or a sweet 16. And instead of those things, you ask to go to the United States.
Okay.
So they do. They take you. You go to Seattle, and it's in the summer, where it is just beautiful, blossoming, cherry blossoms everywhere. Literally picture-perfect fairy tale for you.
Cute.
Obsessed, right?
So cute.
You're in love. And eventually, once you've turned 18... now you're able to move to the United States.
Nice.
And stay with some family friends.
Cool.
Okay. So that gives you more of a perspective of who Lorena Gaia was before becoming the victim of John Wayne Bobbitt.
Yes. That sucks. Because it's all cute and she's just so excited.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. Why do you have to ruin everything?
Yeah. She's very immature, to say the least. I mean, she is only 18 at this point.
Yeah.
And within about a year that she's there, she meets John in 1988. Okay. While he was still enlisted in the Marines.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah. John is of that.
Comparable in age?
Yes, from what I'm assuming, he was like 20, okay. 21.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not a huge, huge difference. Not like a huge we're used age to seeing.
Yeah.
However, on this podcast. Some red flags for sure where they were dating. He like never had money.
Hmm.
Yeah, ever. And she was like young, so she was like paying for their dates, and he never showed up on time, according to certain family members. He was weird. Never necessarily like came off as that kind of responsible type. Yeah. He was handsome. She met him and barely spoke English. So, yeah.
Mm.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. I don't like this.
The plot's thickening.
The plot thickens.
Yeah, according to John, Lorena was shy and didn't speak much English. The two had immediate chemistry and therefore began dating. Yeah, again, okay. She was 18. Just right. Again. But they got married literally 9 months after they met.
Ooh, that's a red flag for me.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
That's a huge red flag.
So, anyway, just a little bit of backstory on John. Oh, my God, you guys.
I already don't like him.
You can guess, like, he even has this statement where he's like, yeah, I grew up in the ghetto, and, like, we had some race hate crimes done to us. So he was born in 1967 and grew up in Niagara Falls, New York. His father was completely out of the picture. He apparently, John claims, beat him, his family, and his mother, and left when John was about, like, 3 or 4.
Okay.
So his mom also had a hard time. She was, like, depressed, and I think she did do drugs and stuff. So he ended up, he and his brothers were sent to live with a family, like uncle and aunt.
Okay.
Yeah, but according to John, after that, they grew up normal. They went to church, like, much better than when they were living with their parents. But when he was of age, he enlisted in the Marines because a bunch of his friends were also enlisting in the Marines. It wasn't necessarily like his
goal.
Something he was eventually discharged. Do. And I'm curious about that, too. I don't know.
You don't know how or for what?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Okay.
Interesting. So, yeah. Again, Lorena, at this point, she was getting those like statements from family members like, we don't like that he's never here on time for you and he makes you drive and like he makes you pay for things. It's really fucking weird.
Yeah.
Because he's a grown ass man. But she was like, what? I don't care about any of those things. This is my movie man. Right.
Yeah. Young and in love.
Yes. Yeah. She was just happy that he even found her like semi-interesting or attractive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, they got married. In an interview with 2020, John claims that they both had different versions of how the proposal went and like how the marriage itself went. Like he said he said that he thought about it and like made it a planned like romantic thing, and Lorena was kind of like it wasn't really that big of a deal when he asked me. But then also, well, this is the thing that you find consistently throughout the whole time they were together. And even after, like, there are always two versions of a story.
Thing.
Yes. Okay. So really fucked up because I believe the woman.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, he also said that she was just disappointed in him because he couldn't give her. They were living like in a one bedroom apartment.
Mm-hmm.
No furniture because they couldn't afford furniture.
Yeah.
And John like let his cousin stay with them within those first few months, who was also a dick, by the
great
way.
That's weird.
Was also, he had been a felon and was released from prison.
Jesus.
So anyway, let me back up a little bit. But yes, he also, this is kind of sad because when Lorena met his family for the first time, they were pissed at her because she and John showed up a day later than what the family had planned. So they put together this like whole celebration for their marriage and John didn't tell her.
Hmm. So they ended up late.
And they hated Lorena like from that day on.
Jesus.
Which is interesting to me because he does it a lot.
Yeah. You know, I'm getting real frustrated with these stories where we don't hold men accountable for shit that they do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, this is going to make you super upset. Yeah, it gets worse.
It gets worse.
Because the abuse started right away, according to Lorena.
Like, that sucks.
It started that night. So when his cousin was in town, they went out for drinks, mm-hmm. and John was especially violent when he drank. Mm-hmm. And he was in the car speeding down the highway going over 90 miles per hour and being very reckless and very angry. And Lorena's like, oh, I'm really worried, like, you need to stop. So she grabs the steering wheel from him, mm-hmm. and punches her in the face.
Jesus. Wow.
And her his cousin, like, basically nodded in approval and was like, yeah. And so this night in particular, they don't mention a lot of things. Like, for example, a security guard from the apartment complex heard what John had done. So, like, after he punched her in the face in the car, it didn't stop from then. He dragged her out of the car to the apartment by the hair. This is the first occurrence of abuse.
Wow.
So she's like, highly escalated. Who the fuck is this?
This is already really escalated. What the fuck?
Extremely escalated very fast, and he has a huge temper problem. In fact, he's actually said to people that the Marines taught him to be desensitized emotionally, and that he definitely doesn't understand people who are overly emotional or have a lot of emotions. He can't relate to them, and he thinks that that's a big reason why their relationship, like, he thinks that he has normalized violence and abuse, that he's literally talking about these things openly.
And it's doesn't like our bingo sheet.
It's like, it is our bingo sheet. It's terrifying. I was gonna say, we gotta add him to
because what the fuck, like. And to think that, like, oh, yeah, my military training desensitized me enough to be this much of a piece of garbage to someone I supposedly care about.
Yeah.
Yeah, he That's basically just, like, was terrifying. Like, Lorena just was always so mad at me because she, you know, I was very inconsiderate in that sense. I'm like, you fucking beat her, dude. Like, senseless sometimes. So,
the issue here is you.
Yeah. The night. And this is what especially gets me angry, too, is, like, that night it started, and that's the night when people started realizing right away, like, their neighbors and the security guard came to the door. John and his cousin, they don't mention the security guard ever, mm-hmm. so, like, that's a flaw in their stories. But, yeah, it's a lot of this he said, she said.
Yeah.
And they will constantly say that Lorena is the one who becomes violent in an argument first. Yeah. So that was the first instant that they said, no, that night she hit John. And he would say, oh, I would just hold her back because it's not ladylike to have outbursts like that.
Dude, it's not fucking very manly to beat your wife. So the people that heard this, no one did anything, no one called, nothing. Yeah. Great.
Cool. No.
If you hear something, do something.
Well, Jesus. Listen, they do eventually.
Good.
Nothing happens with it.
Great. Yeah. Cool. Great.
Please. Please do your job. Please.
Well, it's just so sad because, like, this is not an uncommon situation in mm-hmm. DV. Like, it just makes me upset.
No, so like, it
someone
could have
stepped in and done something.
So for a while after this occurrence happened, she had talked to him and thought that they got through. Like, she's a very religious woman. Mm-hmm. Keep this in mind. And also has a lot of family pressures. So she didn't want to tell anyone because she was, like, embarrassed that she would be blamed for it. Which is, she gets this all the time. Like, well, what if he was so abusive, why didn't you leave? I swear that they did not have one professional outlook on any of the abuse in this case at all. Like, we had people saying that it was her fault because she didn't leave.
That's
and I know. There's that is the most so many things. Shit. There are we say this all the time on this podcast that it takes, like, almost up to 7 attempts to leave your abuser, and over the course of several years. Right. So, like, this is just the beginning. This is imagine yourself a little girl. Basically, she's 18.
She's still a child.
She's an immigrant.
Yeah, in a country she's not to familiar a Marine. With.
Yeah, is married to a Marine now, which is, like, she actually thought it was very. Admirable his work in the military service. And anyway, so he just is a monster and she had no idea. So that's where we're getting at this point. He's beating her at least once a month. He will get messed up at least once a month. So there was one particular scary, and his aggressiveness just keeps escalating as well.
It was already very escalated at the beginning, so Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right. Now we're getting into airway restrictiveness and a lot of toying with her emotions. Like, she was so on edge. Like, she went in for a checkup because she had a respiratory infection, mm-hmm. and that doctor said that she was kind of like irritable and very anxious. And she said, because my husband has like, he raped me. Like, I don't know what to do right now, because at this point in Virginia, it's like very, even now, it's very, very hard to prove marital rape, which yes. Fuck you guys for that. Fuck you guys for that.
Yeah. It wasn't even illegal until the 90s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she basically is like really lost at this point. And things get so bad that there was this particular one event that a lot of neighbors saw and didn't do anything about it. But John is talking to Lorena, and he's backing out of the fucking driveway, and he opens his door on her really hard. Mm-hmm. She falls down, and her clothes get caught to the car. Mm-hmm. And he speeds away.
What the
and
fuck?
And she was able to get herself, like, gone in time to where, like, he wouldn't kill her. But she was like, I almost died that day. Yeah. And had to go to work.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So customers, her boss, they all would notice. And she would even say it sometimes. Like, the customer would be like, where's that brute? Like, where are you getting your bruises from? My husband beats me. Yep.
And no one did anything. Nothing.
Well, yeah, and, like, this escalation, like, the escalation Alexis is talking about is not uncommon. Like, that is what happens in the cycle of violence. Like, it's just going to keep going until someone intervenes or she dies. Like, those are the options.
Yeah, basically.
Like, it's always going to continue escalating, regardless.
And some of the things that you're talking about are the things that, like, as an advocate, I look for and ask about as a risk for fatality.
Right. Yeah, because it's getting scary. Like, it's getting to the point where she's terrified.
The moment you get to choking, that's already, like...
Strangulation.
Like, at any point it starts, we consider it on the upper range of, like, this person's in severe danger.
But yeah, because if they're willing to restrict your airway, they're willing to kill you.
They're willing to kill you.
Thinking that she went in for that respiratory infection, quote-unquote, because of the damage that's done to her esophagus and her airways. Because of how often he does this.
Yeah, and, like, not to mention the damage she probably has to her fucking brain, because if you don't have enough oxygen for a certain amount of time... It gives you fucking brain damage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not to take away from the physical abuse, but
the emotional stuff.
The emotional stuff is there as well. Like, he is, they go out on this road trip with one of her friends. So, like, one of her friends is in the car with them. Mm-hmm. And John claims that the two were flirting. Granted, he doesn't have any, like, there's no backing on that statement.
Right.
And he beats her. Like, he is punching Lorena in the car again. And the car is such a scary place to have that done to you as a small woman. This woman is petite. She's, like, 5'4", maybe, and, like, 130 pounds at this point. And her friend is telling him, like, stop, you know.
He's willing, like, to do this in front of people.
Because he does not realize that his actions are wrong. And I just want to say this before I get to fuck you, Howard Stern. Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck Howard Stern.
Fuck you, him. Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Sorry. Yeah, we'll get there.
And I
know exactly what
you're talking about. We're not talking about you anymore because fuck you. Anyway. So he tells her friend, if you don't shut the fuck up, like, I'm leaving you on the side of the road. So they're in the middle of nowhere. She doesn't want to. Like, this person is a monster. Like, he's very, very good at removing people from their tool set.
Yeah.
And so he's financially abusing Lorena at this point, too. She's the only one working. Mm-hmm. He would cheat on her and steal from her purse on further dates.
Jesus.
So anyway, she is still trying to this day. She's still trying to make her relationship work. She's still trying to change John, hoping that there's some hope in salvaging her new relationship. And she gets pregnant. She's very happy. Like, it's all that she's wanted. She thinks, oh, I'm finally going to get my dream of having two kids and, like, a husband in the United States. So she wants to keep the baby. And she tells John. And John's not happy. He freaks out. He's like, how the fuck could you think that we're able to afford a baby? Like, you need to get an abortion. She's like, whoa, no. Like, I'm not getting an abortion. That's against my faith. That's not what I want. Right. And, like, absolutely not, right? And he'll claim this is a shared, that they reached an agreement about this decision, which, like, no. She literally is sticking with you because of her faith.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You think she's going to go against her faith to get an abortion? No. That's, like, that's worse than divorce.
Yeah. And is she Catholic?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Christian. Christian, Catholic, in general. Sort. Yes. Yeah. Okay. And he basically makes her get an abortion. Mm. In between that time, he is taunting her about how it's going to be painful and how you're not going to be able to get any pain medicine during it. So he basically terrorizes her on this event.
So he's tormenting her.
Mm-hmm. For her decision. That's not her decision.
What the fuck is...
Reproductive abuse.
Yep,
right there.
Oh, and this is an event... This happened in 1991, so this is before he actually started raping her.
Okay.
Sex became more aggressive, but from up until this point, she was kind of like...
this is okay.
More in agreement to it. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
And so she loses it, and she gets an abortion and goes into a deep, deep depression. And she doesn't want to see John. And so this is, like, finally the point where she was like, no, I'm angry at you. And, like, fuck you.
Yeah. Isn't it when you go in to get an abortion, you can tell them that you're not actually... Can't you report there that something's going on?
Now.
Now.
Yeah, this is all in the 90s. This is the early 90s. Yeah. This is, like, super sad, but we didn't have
the action she's talking about, too, like, this wouldn't even be considered illegal when we get to the marital rape until 92.
Especially in Virginia.
Yeah, no, yeah, like I don't know if the state law is different. Yeah, there,
for anyone now, if that's the case, like you can mention it to the nurses and
they ask you now.
Yeah,
like as a person who's gone for like pregnancy related things, they ask you on the forms and in the interview, are you being abused? Do you feel safe at home? Is anyone making you do these kinds of things? Those kinds of questions.
Yeah,
because of stuff like this.
Yep.
And I think that even at that time, Gnomes, Lorena was smart enough to say that she could not take any action on those kinds of things because people don't realize they're close. Like, you might see something that'll put you in more danger because they're right there and you're not getting away. So they'll know. Like, stop making people say something. It doesn't help all the time.
It's going to be much worse for them when they're alone.
Yeah. Well, and also, to be fair, they pull you aside alone to ask you those questions they don't ask you with your partner in the room nowadays.
And for any of the listeners here who are kind of on the side of like, no, women are whores, women are trash, women, it's their violence, they're uncontrollable, they're wild because people literally use this case to back up those statements.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you.
Fuck you clearly don't know the case well enough.
Fuck you. Yeah. You don't know the case well enough. And also...
also, we are not going to support that mentality here, so...
No. So she broke down and doesn't want to be touched, obviously, after this really invasive, terrible thing that was made. She was forced to do. He rapes her. He rapes her for the first time.
After this procedure.
God damn.
So it started, because basically what he's saying is like, I don't give a fuck about what you're feeling. Your body is still mine. And like, I'm going to do it. So
how about fuck you instead?
Now John is like, he's getting that fuel to his fire. He can get away with his actions. You know, there have been some reports of domestic abuse. And one time she did call the cops and they did come and they did arrest him.
Yeah.
And they did... put and is that recorded anywhere? No. Nobody recorded that he spent X amount of time in the jail for this. Plus, when it came down to her trial, she wasn't able to use anything prior to that date to actually back her up, which we'll get there.
Well, and I also imagine, like, when we're thinking about time frame and, like, she's a young girl from another country who doesn't speak very good English. You know, she's an immigrant woman. They're not going to take that shit seriously. They don't fucking care.
They don't care. So they did do that. And John even admitted to some of his friends.
Yeah.
Like there was a friend who marked this down and reported to an interviewer that he said to them that he enjoys forcible sex and that he likes to make women scream and bleed and yell for help. That's what he said to his friends.
Okay. Yeah, and you're not concerned by this?
Anything. Again, no one is doing anything. He starts, so this is just repeatedly happening. So anytime he gets drunk, anytime he feels Lorena has wronged him in some sort of way, rape. This is different from abuse, you guys. Like, she probably could have handled physical abuse, but rape is different and it broke her down in different ways. Like, she's definitely not the same person that she's not a person at this point. She's scared.
That's soul murder. Rape is soul murder.
Yes. Like, you take something, and then for the fact for you to be screaming for attention and help, and nobody cares because you're married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrifying, right? That's like our worst nightmare. So anyway, she calls, she sees these helplines of domestic violence abuse on her fridge from the Marine Corps. So she calls them, and they do this survey with John, where basically he says yes to all of the above, like rape, assault, assault with another weapon. Did you ever try to pin her down? Did you ever push
her? So he admitted he did all these things.
Oh yeah, he did.
He doesn't think there's
recounts his. He's like, I don't remember that. Those aren't my answers. So they drop it.
Oh my God.
They drop it. She can't receive help. There's a neighbor. She's a sweet old lady. The neighbor wants her to stay with her, but she, again, is like, first off, you have X amount of health problems. I don't want to become that problem for you. I don't want to ask for help in anyone's life because I don't want to
put you in danger also.
And because he's there, like, she doesn't know.
She can't accept.
So this one night where he rapes her, she, like, goes to her work and, like, stays in her car. Just to give you guys some more background story on that. But anyway.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
So we're coming into 1993.
Okay. Literally nothing. She's done nothing wrong at any of this.
And I think that at some points, like, Lorena herself, in the future, I'll talk about this, but she does get arrested twice, like, after this occurrence. Not to say anything about that. All I know is that if you fucking put an animal in a cage and you treat them like shit, they're going to have different responses and potentially violent tendencies. Because of course you would. Of course. Because
of trauma.
Right. Not because
they're traumatized.
They do that all the time. Somehow, all of this case was centered on that man's fucking penis. Which, anyway.
Nope, I'm with you. Jesus fucking Christ.
She did nothing wrong. She's just been abused her entire relationship, and we're going to sit here and pretend like she's a bad guy?
She's been abused in such, so, like, any pervasive ways. Yeah. Like, she's terrified. She doesn't have citizenship. Once she marries John, like, at this point, that
was the
thing.
Well, that's another layer of fucking barriers.
It is. It's a layer of barriers. Yeah. It's another layer of abuse. And the whole English thing. Like, people do not respect her at this point because she has broken English. Like, she was fucking, she's Ecuadorian.
Right.
Anyway, and that was another thing that she got a lot in the trials because she was attractive. Like, people just did not respect her. Yeah, they were thought, oh, you're just a whore. We get these disgusting words describing Lorena in my funny. She's like a hero, a fucking feminist hero who I love and adore. Anyway, so here we are. June 22nd, 1993. The day before. Oh, can I mention? I already have the title of this episode because when I was researching for this, I saw the show Chicago Live, and I was like, he had it coming.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
That's exactly what it's called. Because when I was watching that, I was like, yes. Why did they know then and now everything's shit? Okay.
Yep.
So the day before the incident, capital I, capital T, supposedly, John was the one that brought up the idea to divorce Lorena. Okay, so at this point, they're finally admitting, like, yeah, they had separated for a little bit.
Okay.
So again, in between, like, that time, I think by now they've been married for like 2 years technically, and they separated in between that time, and John left her alone in that separation. I'm assuming because he knew she would come back because they're still married.
Right.
But, like, he definitely showed some promise there. Mm-hmm. So she went back to him, as many will do.
Yep. She had the honeymoon phase stuff. Yep.
Yes.
Cycle of abuse.
Yeah.
So anyway, they bring up divorce. It's Lorena's choice mostly. Mm-hmm. Because even to this day, John would take her back. Like, just keep that in mind. Yeah, to this day, John is still obsessed and in love with Lorena Bobbitt. Well, Gaia.
I think he saw her as an easy target.
That's the thing, is like, I don't think it's fucking love. I think he could control her and he liked that.
Yeah.
I don't think it was love.
Yeah. So anyway, they're bringing up divorce, and he claims that it made Lorena upset, and like that she was being violent towards him. However, she was still scared of him and decided not to go to the police for help.
I mean, if you sit here and you tell me, like, oh, now I'm going to divorce you on top of all the abuse I've done, so, like, why the fuck do I stay here and deal with all this shit if you're just going to divorce me anyway? Yeah. Fuck you.
So she stays in. I too
would be aggressive.
She stays in. He goes to the bar. She's talking to her neighbor on this night of the 22nd. He goes to the bar. She's talking to her neighbor about how shitty and scared like she is right now at this point because they're getting a divorce. So it's making her super anxious of like what is going to happen. Because basically he says to her, he says, married people who get a divorce, they still have sex afterwards. And I think she interpreted that as, even if we get a divorce, I'm still raping you.
Yeah. Like, you're still mine.
Yes. Yeah. Basically. No. So she's terrified.
Absolutely not.
He comes into the house, rapes her. She wakes up. Her garments have been torn, and he rapes her again. This is the night that she has what the defense would call a temporary lapse of sanity. Mm-hmm. Because everything started flowing to her head. That's what she'll tell you.
I think
you.
She's just had enough of this fucker.
She definitely, so fuck like, you. That sounds like some control in that, and that's why I don't want to say it, because, like, she did not want to do this. Like, this was not her choice to do this crime.
This is a symptom of trauma. This lapse in judgment is a symptom of trauma.
That happens so unconsciously, because she breaks and she gets these flooding of memories of like everything
flashes.
That's happened.
You're having
over this time
trauma flashes.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, so like this happens in other cases, right? With like less severe consequences, right? So like drug addiction. When you think about those kinds of, I'm just trying to like normalize it a little
but
bit.
But listen
for people.
To like how John describes this night, right? He is so smug and so full of himself. He's
whatever.
Oh, yeah, Lorena was just so mad at me. I came home, and she was messing with me down there because she was trying to get me to, like her more. Like, he's so immature and, like, such a little kid. But anyway, she gets up, again, in a state of shock. Mm-hmm. She basically does not even remember what happens after the rape.
Yeah, and she blacked out.
She blacked out.
Yeah.
And she goes to the kitchen, and she gets the knife. And she cuts off his penis.
Good.
John was so drunk that night that he did not even notice that that's what happened first. He will say that he felt a tug and then heard a sound. And
can you? I would imagine that would sober up you real quick.
It takes him a second. Lorena has it in her hand, has the knife in her hand, is getting into the car. Like, again,
like, I'm taking this shit. Yeah.
But again, she's not like
she's
doing
not
this actively.
Yeah.
And so she's driving. John, on the other hand, is back at the apartment, takes a second to realize what's actually happening. Looks okay, gets up, is kind of weirded out, tells his stupid other roommate that he moved into their house, even though he doesn't pay bills.
Hey, roommate, my dick just got cut off.
No, he wakes him up, and his roommate's like, oh, he's probably waking me up for work. Roommate, like, goes into the bathroom, like, takes a shit, doesn't know what's happening, gets out, he's like, oh my god, you have so much blood loss. John's just, like, on the couch, like,
he's like, my dick's gone.
I'm dying.
The paramedics that day actually mentioned that John was weirdly calm about this. Like, in my mind, what would be going through my head if I were John is like, she tried to fucking do it and didn't get rid of me. And now I'm fucking pissed. And like, you think that that's gonna fucking work, bitch? Like, nope. Mm-hmm. They help him more than they help Lorena. In any way.
Yeah, of course they are.
So anyway, Lorena is driving at this point. She wakes up from this trance because she realizes the lights on the side of the road. She's like, what?
Where am I?
Has this in her hand. She's driving. She's like, ah! Throws it out the window. And she'll even say, she was like, well, I needed two hands to drive. She doesn't really realize what she did still.
Yeah.
She calls the police and turns herself in. Like, that's how willing this person is, and like how not deviant and malicious this crime was, as harsh as it sounds. Mm-hmm. But so she tells them, and what even happened? In the interview room, they're like, she wasn't there. Like, this woman was not really coherent and kind of like, huh, what?
Disassociated, I would imagine. Yeah.
How do the cops look at this and be like, yeah, obviously she's evil and
the trial's really interesting.
The cops look at
and
it
and
as tell this
that she's
bitch
very
cut
obviously
her
not okay.
Off. They don't understand. They don't know. So they fucking
they don't
answer.
Have any of that training.
They don't care because that's it's their true. Manhood. They're thinking, oh, poor man. He got his most important thing cut off. Like, poor baby. They rush to his penis.
Yeah.
This is kind of funny as I'm saying it. All of it. All of it. They rush to his penis. All of it. Rush to his penis. They are, like, freaking out. They grab the closest thing to take it to the hospital, which is a hot dog wrapper from 7-Eleven.
They're like, put the dick in this. Take
it. They literally did. And the surgeon's like, really? This is fucking hilarious. They reattach John's penis and it works. No. And they're basically like, they call the best surgeon in. This is what pisses me off, is I'm like, you have a rape victim sitting in your fucking car who has made multiple complaints and accounts and reports about this man in particular. Yet,
and you call the best surgeon in to save his dick?
Yeah. And you guys are concerned about its functionality after this? Like,
he shouldn't have any function of it. He lost that privilege.
Well, he does. And it's like, again, when people are like, karma's real. Karma's real. I'm like, bitches, no, it's not. Like, look at this situation. Like, this guy deserved his dick to be 100% cut off.
Yeah.
I'll say it. That's where I stand.
No, that's where I'm at, too.
And I don't want him to have a working part because he doesn't fucking know what to do with it. And he's irresponsible with his working part, causes damage and harm to our universe.
Yeah. To our universe as a whole.
To our ecosystem. Man's dick is offensive. This man's dick is offensive. And he gets functionality of it. He thinks he's hot shit at this point. At this point, he's coasting on the fame that Lorena has provided for him. Anyway, so here come the trials.
Ugh.
Lorena's is second. They try John first. So they try Lorena with malicious mutation, I think. Mutilation was what it was.
Mutation.
malicious mutation. Actually,
a weird X-Men.
Because now your husband has a fucking mutated penis that he likes to coin the Frankendick.
Ugh! No.
It gets worse,
I
you guys.
Hate.
No, it gets worse.
Stop giving your own dick nicknames.
They try John first for domestic abuse and marital rape. He is found not guilty.
Fuck you.
Because they didn't document fucking anything.
Because at this point, they can't bring in previous accounts. They're literally just trying this couple for that night and what happened that night. And they are so stupid because you know what one of the arguments are is like, well, Lorena, like, she made some fucking, you know, claims about being raped, but she was really, like, not that tore up about it.
Dude, it's her everyday fucking life.
Yeah.
But also, you don't fucking get to decide how a fucking rape victim reacts. You don't, there is no right or wrong way.
Do
stupid
they do
asses.
Rape kits? Like, if your partner.
Yeah, they're backlogged
not
as
really.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Not
I was going to
really,
say, like, if
they
her
know
partner,
who the partner is.
I was going to say, if it's her husband, and if your husband still shows up on your rape kit, do they just dismiss it?
Probably, because no, they wouldn't do a rape kit because they know who the perpetrator is.
Well, they still do rape kits to collect evidence, even if they know who the perpetrator is.
So I'm assuming
that doesn't mean they
it's
get tested,
blocked,
though.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Plus, you'd have to go to a hospital for that, or have the police actually believe that something is happening to you and take you to the hospital.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah. So he's found not guilty. Again, coasting on this fucking fame.
I'm sure he's cocky as shit about it.
Makes a fucking porn the year after the fucking trial.
Oh, God, no.
And also makes two porns. Just anyway.
Two porns.
Two porns.
So Lorena is found not guilty by reason of insanity, which I still think is pretty fucked up because I would wish that she wasn't tried for this in general.
Fucking self-defense. Are you kidding
me?
Basically, right? And she's kind of confused too. Again, language barrier, which is really fucked up. But also because she's like, what the fuck? Why do I have to spend a year in the psychiatric facility when he doesn't get anything? Fucked up.
Like, I imagine at that point you could really use some therapy after all this shit that's been going on, but this should not be the context in which you receive it.
Well, he should too, is the thing, right? So it takes two to tango, and he basically is glorified as hero at this point who got his fucking dick cut off, and everyone feels bad for him, and they're vilifying Lorena. And I think even people to this day, like, I know my parents definitely vilified her, and, like, when their take was, like, it doesn't matter what someone can do to you, you just don't do that. I'm like, okay, well,
yeah,
I don't agree with this,
but okay.
But yeah, I'm kind of fucking glad that this is finally coming to light. So anyway, she goes to that facility for rehabilitation, comes out 10 times stronger, you guys. Like,
fuck yeah.
Looks and feels and is better. and is still terrified of John.
Yeah.
John knows where she lives. He knows where she, like, works. She stood in the same place. She still is in the same place because she's like, fuck him. Why should I fucking move? This is my house. This is my home. Mm-hmm. So she still works at the hair salon that she worked at beforehand. Nice. Which, by the way, at some point, because of how financially abusive John was, she would have to embezzle from that company to, like, make ends meet.
Wow. Yeah.
So he gets pissed at her about that, too. Shocker. Anyway. So at this point, she's all rehabilitated. Cool, cool, cool. Meets a new man and has a new family. She's doing a lot better. She's, like, a businesswoman.
Good.
And is a fucking awesome advocate for people doing this shit. She shows up. And John, on the other hand, he gets in trouble for also not doing, I think it's tax evasion.
Yeah, he
seems like the kind.
He's like, I thought that I should give the world a gift by showing my monster penis on the porn. So he does.
He hates
a stripper. They become in love. Her name is Christina. Christina the stripper. Sorry. And sadly but surely, Christina realizes everything Lorena was saying is true.
Damn it.
What a concept.
He was super abusive to her, like just as bad. And she also remarked that he was weirdly obsessed with Lorena, including making these ghost calls. So that really pisses me off. If you know people.
You are continuing to terrorize her?
Yeah. I have some friends who get that all the time. Like, they're like, why are you so paranoid about your phone? Like, shut the fuck up. You have no idea what people are going through. They keep getting this call. It's not serious. Like, it is serious.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, he's making sure she knows he is always there.
Yeah. He's stalking her at this point. This is stalking behavior.
Still say. Oh, by the way, Howard Stern was his best man at the wedding.
Oh, he fucking would be. God, sorry.
I know.
I hate this so much.
So Christina gets beaten. He also gets arrested for those allegations from her.
Mm-hmm.
Gets out. Again, finds another girl. Same situation. So he's an abuser.
Right.
Now Lorena is making a lot more money than he is. He is on the documentary, which I thought was pretty fucked up. It pisses me off that he's just out and about and lives a better life from this rather
than a worse one.
Yes. And Lorena gets it all the time, although she had a huge, huge supporting fan base. Mm-hmm. Even during the trial.
Good. At least somebody believed her.
Yeah. The point here is fucking believe survivors when they tell you things, huh?
Also, the point here is that if you're a fucking immigrant woman, you need to be careful. Yeah, you gotta be careful. It is an unfortunate reality. You're in high danger for becoming a victim of domestic violence because of just your stature and how easy it makes it for
to control
abusers. Yeah.
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 Jesus.
Especially if you're undocumented.
But he's nothing. Nothing happened to him except
he had a couple of those tries. But from what happened after Lorena's case, no. And it's so interesting because this one is one of the most popular, and there's not a murder involved. Mm-hmm. But had it gone on longer, there could have been.
Right.
Yeah.
On either side, honestly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
So I love this case.
It's an interesting one.
Yeah.
And I feel like most of the things you said, we never hear. All you hear is this dude lost his penis because this girl's crazy.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yep. And I thought that was the least she could have done.
Yeah. Yeah. what the fuck, dude?
I feel like this falls into the camps of it's a crime that we support
abusers. Yeah, because you should hear the police who were on that day talk about this. Yeah. They'll tell you that they were super worried about John. They answer the phone and all it is a woman cut her husband's penis off. Mm-hmm. That's it. There's no acknowledgement of what could have been before and after then.
I'm going to have to sit down and watch the rest of that documentary.
Yeah.
It's really funny. John's in it a lot. And he's got that party.
He's a Chad.
Dude, you're he's 50. Chad. Chill.
He's a chud.
He's a chud. All right.
God damn it.
Well, come back next week. I don't know what I'm telling you, but
great.
Come back. It'll be good.
Sweet.
Cool.
Bye.
Wait. If you're not already, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Not a Boogeyman.
Yep, and then go to our website, namnab.com, and you can see our blog post for these episodes in case you want to see some pictures along with any of that stuff, or to take a look at our book club, because we've got some good stuff coming.
Yes. And again, let us know if you're interested in Patreon, because we're really looking at doing it and we want to gauge the interest before we start. So let us know. It'll be cheap.
Yeah. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then feel free to give us a rating. 5 stars would be cool, and we'd really appreciate you.
Yeah. All right. Come back next week, guys.
See ya.
Bye.